I just want to say thank you so much for kind of taking 2 hours out of your morning to be here, because I know, like, for loads of us, it's actually quite tricky logistically, or we'd rather be in bed, or there's loads of things. And I think God really, really honours that, actually, that we get up really early and we come. And I think already that points all of you out as being confident women in God, because you want him. You're obviously here because you want to hear from him. And I've been praying so much for all of you, and just pray that God will speak to all of you today, and just really assure you of who you are and who he is. So, living as confident women of God, fulfilling our potential as daughters of the King, no pressure. when Carol asked me to do this talk about a year ago, I thought, oh my goodness, you're joking me. I'm like one of the least confident people I know. And obviously everything in me wanted to say, no, I think you've got the wrong person. But very quickly, I thought, actually, yes, I do need to do this talk, because it's not about me. It's about being a confident woman of God. And even though I'm full of, you know, insecurities and complexes and things, like I'm sure many of us are, I'm actually 100% confident in my God. I've known him for over 25 years. And he's never proved himself to be anything but faithful and amazing and just awesome. So this isn't a talk about how amazing and confident I am. It's just trying to encourage all of us to look at who God is and look at who he says we are, and have our confidence there. So I was going to start off by looking at the Bible. Thanks, lovely. And I just think we've already been singing loads of God's words this morning, and their truth. I really believe the Bible is truth. It's God's words to us, and his word is living and active. It always speaks to us. So I thought if we just look at these Bible truths this morning, and just this is a picture of what I think sums up living a confident... Oh, no, not that one. Sorry, back to the Bible. Of what I think sums up living as a confident woman of God. And it's from Jeremiah 17, and it's about a tree. And actually, today is going to have a few little trees popping up, because I really love trees. I was born and bred in the New Forest, so I spent most of my childhood up trees and around trees. And for those of you who know my children, they're very much following in my footsteps to alarming heights, like Toby and Molly climb very high. This is about a tree. And I'm just going to read it to you. I've changed it to women, because we're all women here. Blessed is the woman who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. She will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. How gorgeous is that? I would love to be like that tree, just evergreen, always fruitful. There's a real pitch of unshakability, isn't there? Because that tree's roots are really, really deep in the stream planted by the water. And the Bible talks a lot about the living water. And Jesus says, come to me, all who are thirsty. And that is the water of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That is being rooted in God, in relationship with God. So today is all about having our roots deep in our relationship with God. So, I wanted to tell you a little bit about another tree. And this is a little bit about my story. When Carol asked me to do this talk a year ago, I thought, oh, that's so cool. I've got loads of amazing stories I can tell about how awesome God is. We've had amazing miracles and healings and just quite awesome things going on in our lives. And I was almost trying to pick which ones, really, to share with you. But then as this year unfolded, it became clear that God was using a different story, and a different new story was unfolding in my life, and as God's always doing new things. So this is the story of a tree. Way back in February last year, I had a little light bulb moment in the middle of a field. And God kind of revealed his plans to rescue us from a bit of a sad situation we were in. So my eldest son, he's 9 now, but he was 7 at the time, Toby, he'd been really sad at school for about 3.5 years. since he started, really. He'd been physically bullied and would often come home with cut head, ripped clothes, bruises, cuts. And he didn't know he was being bullied because it was a friend and it was all a bit complex. But anyway, needless to say, he wasn't very happy. And for various reasons, he slipped through the net at school. And most mornings he would feel sick and not want to go in, and he'd beg me not to take him, and he'd have tummy aches. And it wasn't all doom and gloom. You know, he'd get in and he got on with it, and we persevered, and we kept thinking we must persevere. And we prayed lots and tried various things. I even homeschooled him one day a week for a little bit. But in February, it was clear that it wasn't getting better. It was getting worse. And so I ended up on the doorstep of a very gorgeous Christian friend who took me in and gave me a tissue and coffee. And I think she gave me mango as well, actually. And did what all good, amazing Christian friends do. And she prayed with me. And as we prayed, God gave us both, we can't remember who he gave which picture or word to, but he gave us a couple of words, and one of them was also from Jeremiah, and it was, "I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." So I kind of clung to that, thought that's good. And then my friend said, "I think God really wants you to know that he loves you." And at that time I was like, I don't, that's lovely, but I don't really want to know that he loves me. I want to know that he loves Toby and that he's going to sort Toby out, but I held on to it anyway. And also she felt like God was saying April. So to cut a very, very long story short, full of God's words and encouragement and pictures and lovely friends coming around us and praying with us, in April we moved our children to a different school in Fordcombe, and then we moved house to Ashurst to be nearer the school. And it was amazing. We still can't believe we lived there. It's a gorgeous house, and we're in the country, which is, I think, where we kind of belong, because we're all a bit feral and climbing in our family. And we just can't get over how amazing God has been to us. He has just blessed us so much, and we are so thankful. But the kids are happy at school. Toby's not looked back. He even wants to go in when he's ill, and just totally praise God. But that isn't the story I wanted to tell, actually. The story I wanted to tell is about my little tree there. So this is the gorgeous tree, and I am in love with trees, but this is a particular gorgeous tree that was in the centre of our garden when we moved to Ashurst. And I think it was probably my most favourite thing about the whole garden, if not house. I loved it. It had sage green leaves, and it was gorgeous. We used to sit underneath it and eat our lunch, and little bugs would drop off the leaves onto our plates. And it was just really lovely. And then also from our bedroom window, I could see the whole canopy of this tree. It is huge. And since I've been about five, I've suffered from regular migraines where I've often had to go to bed like most weeks. And so to have somewhere where I'm lying in bed feeling rubbish and can see this beautiful view was actually another huge blessing. So I used to lie there and look out my tree and go, "Oh, Lord, I can't believe it. Thank you. You're so good." And I said, "Oh, can it be like my little prophetic tree? Can you speak to me through my tree?" Because I've heard of people who've got prophetic vines, or, you know, I thought, "Oh, that would be quite fun." So I asked God to speak to me through the tree. And everything was fine and rosy. And then a couple of months after that, we were sitting outside. It was middle of summer. And we realized that there was a lot of leaves falling. It wasn't autumn. And we realized that our tree was ill. It had got a bug. And we had a few tree surgeons in. And they all said the same thing, which was that it was dying beyond kind of rescue. And it needed to be chopped down and uprooted, and it was good for nothing. And I was really gutted. Ed even came home from work early. It was that bad. And so we were chatting to the tree surgeons, and we were saying, "Is there any chance for our tree?" I know it sounds really ridiculous. It is only a tree. But anyway, so they had to chop it down. And we said, we can't bear for it all to be chopped down. And they said, at the very, very least, we need to chop all the branches off and get rid of all the leaves, because that's where the bug is, but it won't grow back. You do need to chop it down. So we let them chop all the branches off, and I've got a little picture of it happening. And then when they got to the top, they realized it was rotten, so they had to chop a third of the top off as well. And so now we're left with a little stump. It's quite a nice stump because it's got lots of ivy on it. But nevertheless, it's a little stump. And we thought, oh, there goes our tree. They said, and they did say when they cut the top bit off that there's a tiny little bit of sap left, which is obviously like the lifeblood of the tree. And they said there's a slim chance it might grow back, but it probably won't. So we'll probably get a call from you in about a year to chop the rest of the trunk down. We're like, no, we're going to be faithful. And we even prayed for it. Actually, we got John Carroll, who is our amazing children's worker at this church, to come and pray for it. I'm not coming off very well here. Okay, so anyway, that chopped down. And then 2 months after that, I started feeling really low. And I promise it wasn't because of the tree. Normally, I'm quite a jolly person, and I probably quite irritatingly for some people, but I kind of tend to see the positive in life. And I just started in about August, September last year, feeling really, really down, really low. And I didn't really know why. And I just found that I was crying for no reason for like days on end and weeks on end. And I didn't know why I was crying. And then I started feeling really, I had a lot of kind of negative thoughts about myself and about my uselessness. And I just felt rubbish. I felt rubbish as a mum, rubbish as a wife, rubbish as a friend, rubbish as a daughter. I just was really down. I had loads of negative thoughts. I felt really paranoid. Felt like nobody liked me. It was a really weird place to be. And I felt anything but fruitful in that time. Sometimes I couldn't pray. I think I probably had a bit of depression. And so I had no real reason to have it. But God actually was speaking to me through my tree. And like my tree, I was undergoing some serious pruning. And where we'd moved to Ashurst, and it was perfect for everybody else, and even Ed started sleeping through the night, which he hasn't done for 14 years. That's my husband, by the way. I realized that I actually wasn't okay. And I think God, in the gentle way that God does, he showed me that I'd been relying too much on my lovely friends and on my support network in Tunbridge Wells and not enough on him. My roots were still in him. I never, ever doubted his goodness or his faithfulness or his amazingness. But I didn't have that daily kind of encouragement of friends around me. And I was trying to fit into a new network at school where everyone knew each other because my children had gone from different years. It wasn't reception. And everyone was very pleasant, but I just kept feeling rejected and like I couldn't get in there. Also, we were trying to settle into a new village because our village is different to the school. And I think every kind of rejection or little negative thing that happened felt so much bigger because I wasn't having the daily kind of support and encouragement from friends. So God was showing me that actually I needed to root down deeper on him and rely on him. And actually one time he really challenged me that I needed to be seeking him and his kingdom first, not my own comfort. So anyway, as I said, I didn't feel fruitful. I didn't feel evergreen or lovely at all. But I know that in those 7 or 8 months, I was fruitful because God said I was. You know, I had my roots in him still. And I really believe, and I think people, lots of you here actually came up to me and really encouraged me. Lots of people didn't know how I was feeling, actually, because I kind of was in denial. But lots of people kept encouraging me that I was being fruitful, even though I didn't feel like it. And I think one of the things I'd really love to say to you today is even if you're feeling rubbish and like you're being no use to anyone, you're not. If you're in God, you are being fruitful, whether you feel it or not. So now, how do we live this confident, fruitful life then, particularly when we're in a season that maybe isn't quite so wonderful? I think it all comes down to knowing God, to knowing who he is, that God that we have our roots in, and then he tells us who we are. So it's all about knowing God and knowing who he is and knowing who we are in God. So I just wanted to spend a little bit of time looking at God and just talking about who he is. Because as in Jeremiah, it says that the tree was confident because it knew God, and it knew. So I wonder, could you put the verse back up? Sorry, thanks, lovely. So it says, blessed is the woman who trusts in the Lord. And I'm sure lots of you know, but where Lord is written in capitals in the Bible, that is the personal name of God. That is Yahweh. You know how we were singing this morning about Yahweh. And that was the name that God revealed to Moses about himself. That was his personal name. I am who I am. I'm everlasting. I'm always faithful. And he is calling us into that kind of deep, intimate relationship with himself. So I just wanted you in your little groups, maybe get into twos or three or however you want to do it, and just spend a couple of minutes talking to each other in pairs, maybe, or threes, about one characteristic of God that you feel like he has been teaching you about for this year so far. Or if you can't think of anything that you feel like he's been revealing or teaching you, just pick your favourite characteristic of God. And just talk about God for a couple of minutes, and then I'll call you back.
Go.
Now, we could talk about God forever, so that's really good. I hope that was encouraging. Sorry. That's really cool. I'm glad we all have so much to say about God, and that's very cool. I just wanted to share a little clip with you of that kind of just sums up how limitless God is, because we could actually talk about, and we will actually talk about him for eternity, won't we? And what you guys were doing just then is complete worship, you know, just as much as the singing. When we talk about God and who he is and what he's doing in our lives, he loves that. It is so glorifying to him. And that's what we're created for. God has made us to worship him and enjoy him forever. So this is a little clip to just inspire us, just how much there is to get to know about God and to just keep on getting to know him. Oh, that's cool. Oh, well, you can think about God while you're waiting.
The Bible says, my king is the king of the Jews. He's a king of Israel. He's a king of righteousness. He's a king of the ages. He's a king of heaven. He's a king of glory. He's a king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he purifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's a key to knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. I wish I could describe him, but yet he's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. Well, you can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your hand. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. Yeah.
That's our King. That is the God that calls us into intimate relationship with himself. So I'm going to cry. So amazing that he wants, sorry, I just think it's amazing that our God is so incredible, and yet he calls us to know him intimately. He calls us to just have this amazing connection with him. And like going back to the tree thing, Jesus says he is the vine and we are the branches. We are connected with him. When we give our lives to God and recognize that Jesus died for us, he took our place and he's taken all the punishment, all the shame, all the guilt for us in our place. And now that way to God is open. You know, God tore that curtain when Jesus was dying on the cross. God tore it from top to bottom. And he's saying, look, it's free. Come into my presence. And he invites us all into his presence to be one with him. And Jesus, before he went back to heaven, he prayed for all of his disciples, and he prayed for us, his disciples, to come. And he prayed that we would know that mystery of being one with God, like the Father and the Son are one, and that we would know that we are one with God. And he's given us his Holy Spirit, and it's his Holy Spirit in us that testifies that we are God's, that we are one with God. And our life is actually hidden with Christ now. If we're trusting in him, our life is actually now in heaven. This isn't reality. This is like a little funny kind of stage. But reality is eternity with that awesome God face to face with our King. And I think if we want to live confident lives and fulfill our potential, we need to keep remembering who he is and listening to his words telling us who we are. We need to have our identity rooted in him. And he tells us who we are. The Bible's full of facts, of truth about who we are. And so I just wanted us to have a quick little look at some of the things that Jesus says who we are. Firstly, he calls us, I'll read it out in a second, but firstly, he calls us daughters. He says he's adopted us as our children. And that means that he loves us unconditionally. He loves us, and he says that we can call him Daddy. The Holy Spirit in us cries out, Abba, Father, and that is Daddy. It is that intimate and that close. And because we're daughters and he's the King, that makes us princesses. Not kind of heady little Disney princesses, but royal. We are royalty, actually. We are royalty. And we live a life where we have the Holy Spirit in us, and we are empowered to be royalty. So not in an arrogant way, but everywhere we go, we have the power to influence and to bless. We have the power. We represent our Daddy, the King. We represent him wherever we go. And we have that power to change the atmosphere wherever we are. And he calls us his friends. He wants to intimately walk with us and know us. He wants to discuss with us. There's people in the Bible that he almost seems to change his mind with Moses and Abraham, where they discuss, and he goes, okay, I won't do that. And he wants us to be discussing things with us. And he calls us his bride. You know, we're invited to this eternal banquet, this eternal wedding feast in heaven, but we're not invited just as guests, we're invited as the bride. And it's God who clothes us with clothes of purity and holiness and blamelessness. And he closes, he gives us everything we need to have that intimate relationship with God. So on your tables, hopefully there's enough for everyone, there's a little blue piece of paper, and it just says loads of I am sayings about who I am in Christ. I was going to read it all out, but I just think maybe if you take that with you, I think we're slightly running out of time. But maybe later you could have a little look through that and just see what speaks to you. Ask God, maybe there's things that, on that that you're not believing about yourself yet, but it's all true. It's all true. Actually, I will read some of it. I am accepted. I am God's child. I am Christ's friend. I have been justified. I am united with the Lord and one spirit with him. I have been bought with a price. I belong to God. I am a member of Christ's body. I am a saint. I have been adopted as God's child. I have direct access to God through the Holy Spirit. I have been redeemed and forgiven of all my sins. I am complete in Christ. I am secure. I am free forever from condemnation. I am assured that all things work together for good. I am free from any condemning charges against me. I cannot be separated from the love of God. I have been established, anointed, and sealed by God. I am hidden with Christ in God. I am confident that the good work that God has begun in me will be perfected. I am a citizen of heaven. I have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. I can find grace and mercy in time of need. I am born of God, and the evil one cannot touch me. I am significant. I am the salt and light of the earth. I am a branch of the tree vine, a channel of his life. I have been chosen and appointed to bear fruit. I am a personal witness of Christ. I am God's temple. I am a minister of reconciliation for God. I am God's co-worker. I am seated with Christ in the heavenly realm. I am God's workmanship. I may approach God with freedom and confidence, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So why, what stops us believing it? Because I don't know about you, but I often don't go around like a princess, and I often don't believe it. And actually, when we don't, that does stop us fulfilling our potential in God. It does stop us from maybe stepping out for him, because we think, I can't do it. I feel rubbish. And like I said before, I'm full of complexes. And a few of my complexes, just to be really honest with you, is that I'm really boring. And that's really affirming, Karen, thank you. And like, just, I haven't got anything to say. I'm really quiet. In a group, I just go quiet. I'm all right one-to-one, but I can't speak in a group. And yeah, that I'm not lovable. I think for whatever reason, didn't feel particularly loved by my parents. So I just think we get a lot of lies thrown at us throughout our life, don't we? Whether it's from people around us or media or whatever. So I kind of go around with my little bag of complexes, and it can stop me from stepping out. But God challenged me a bit ago. I was supposed to be meeting up with this girl, and she is, oh my goodness, beautiful. She's amazing. Really, she's not a Christian, and she seems to have it all. She's got an incredible job. She's on the telly. She's she has these amazing parties where all these very fascinating and beautiful people go. And I always feel really uncool by her. And I kind of was trying to meet up with her. God's really put her on my heart. But I thought, what have I got to offer her? Why would she want to hang out with me? But I really felt God saying, just go for it. Just put away all that lies and believe that you have got me in you. You have got something to offer her because you've got me and you're offering her me. So I kind of plucked up the courage and I met up with her. When that day when she came, she brought a little card with her, and it was framed, and on it it said something like, you don't know how much you inspire people just by being you. And I was like, oh, I just thought, thank you, God, because it wasn't me, it was God, and she sees God in me, even though she doesn't realize it yet. So I just wanted to encourage you that when you're feeling wibbly wobbly, just remember that God is in you, and it's him who lives and breathes and speaks and acts through you. Okay. So, I think I just wanted to quickly look at some of the things that stop us from believing the truth about God, because this is truth. Like, all of that is truth. It's the word of God. We've got to believe it. Firstly, it was the lies. I've talked about how I think the devil's very sneaky. He kind of makes us doubt things and makes us believe some of the words that people have said over us, over our lives. And I think we just need to be replacing the lies with the truth. And that is why it's so important to keep our little roots soaked in the truth of God, to be, you know, reading our Bibles and encouraging each other with words from the Bible and listening to worship music and podcasts and sermons and coming to Revive and being in prayer triplets and being at church and just soaking ourselves, because the most of our life is spent in the world where we're bombarded by lots of things and lots of good things, but also lots of lies as well. And we just need to make sure we're watering our roots and encouraging each other as well. And on that note, I just wanted to share another little thing about swapping truth for the lies. So when I was going through my little down bit this year and feeling particularly awful, one of the main areas that I was feeling rubbish about was being a mum. And I felt like I've got three children and they're all quite high octane, but they're gorgeous, I do love them, but I just felt like I didn't know how to parent them, and I had got to the stage where I thought they'd be better off without me, and I got in my car and I just wanted to keep driving, and I genuinely thought my children would be better off without me, and I was really sad about it, and I kept feeling like every time I closed my eyes to think how I could parent them, I just drew a blank. It was literally black. I didn't know what to do. And this went on for months and months and months. And another gorgeous Christian friend picked up on this. And one morning she just drove over to my house. And she said, I'm going to come and pray with you, because it's not true. And on the way over, she said she had a picture. And it was a picture of me standing on a hill with my arms stretched out. And she said, there was a really strong wind, and it was like the wind was blowing away all the cobwebs, all the negative stuff, all the lies. And I was kind of leaning into the wind, and the wind wasn't blowing me down, it was holding me up. And so obviously that wind is the Holy Spirit, the truth of God, and the Holy Spirit was coming in and just trying to get rid of all the rubbish and blowing away the lies, and he was holding me up. And also I just think it's a complete picture of surrender. And I think that's what God is asking us all to do, just to surrender our lives, surrender everything we've got, every relationship, everything we've got, just surrender it all to God and he will sort it out. And then she prayed with me, and honestly, that day something broke and I started to believe that I could parent my children again. And she said, actually, even though maybe my parents didn't have a model that I could pass on or didn't want to pass on, that God has parented me, and so I do know how to parent because God has parented me, and he is parenting my children. They're his, you know, so I kind of felt I need to surrender them to him. They're his, he can help me and he can help me. So just to encourage you, please, if you are believing lies, be honest with each other. Like, not, you don't need to be honest with everyone like I am being today, but just be honest with each other and just get someone to come and speak truth and pray the truth into your life. And then the second thing I think that robs us of fulfilling our potential and takes our focus off God and is worry and doubt and fear. And this is a huge one, I think. We do worry a lot. And God actually says we're not allowed to. It's not a suggestion. He actually says, do not worry, which sounds sometimes a bit impossible, doesn't it? And he's not saying just chill out and be completely complacent and don't care. There's a middle ground. There's like complacency on this side and worry on this side, like anxiety and worry on this side. And then in the middle, there's like a healthy concern. He wants us to be concerned for the people around us, and of course, he's put loads of people in our lives who we've got a responsibility to that we should be concerned of, but not worry, not that you know, that eating away anxiety like I had for Toby. That's not what God wants us to be doing, because he loves us, because he knows what we need, and he knows what our children need. And he has said that he is going to provide it. He provides what we need. And actually, I was reading in my Bible notes recently quite a challenging little thing where this guy, Oswald Chambers, who I totally love, he's like an old, from another century person who preached it. And I love him. He always challenges me. And he said that worry is infidelity. When we worry, we are being unfaithful to God, because we are not trusting him. We're not trusting his word. And I don't want to like make you feel really bad, Sue, because I totally worry too. But to encourage us to take our eyes off what we're worrying about and to look up at God. And there's a little Bible verse that I'm sure you all know that says, do not worry, saying, what should we eat, or what should we drink, or what should we wear, or what do people think about us? For the pagans run out after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So it's not saying that you should just go around naked and not eat and not worry about it. It's saying seek first the kingdom of God. Our highest priority, our highest concern should be for God and for God's glory, not our own. And I had a big wake-up call with my little pruning session where I was feeling very sorry for myself and praying, God, can you give me some friends? Like in Forkham, like all these mums just don't want to know me. And I kind of thought, I'm that family that nobody wants to know. And I was praying that, you know, God would give me some friends. And he really challenged me. And he said, you've kind of turned it the wrong way round. You need to seek my kingdom first. So then I started praying for God's glory and for God's kingdom. I started praying for these mums that God would bless them, and that that God's kingdom would come into their lives. And actually, that next day, I had a massive two-hour chat with one of them all about God. And he's given me loads and loads and loads of conversations and opportunities with a lot of these mums to speak of him and his love. And actually, for me, that is where I feel most fulfilled, is when I'm speaking to people who don't yet know God about him. I love it. I feel like I come alive. And that's not necessarily everybody else's calling, but it was like God was saying, seek me first and I will give you what you need. And I really do feel like I've got friends now there. But it was when I sought God's kingdom first that they came. It wasn't when I was trying too hard. So it's God flips everything on its head, doesn't he? So yeah, don't believe the lies. Swap the lies with the truth. Seek God's kingdom first. God loves us. We just need to trust him. And he will provide everything we need. So, how do we live confident lives and fulfill our potential as daughters of the King? I think it's about daily walking with our roots in Jesus, in that relationship. It's all about relationship with God, isn't it? It's all about receiving the truth from him, knowing who he is, speaking with him, and receiving from him who we are. And it's about surrendering everything to him. And like the tree in Jeremiah, I love it, because I love the bit that says it was fruitful, like in every season really, and it was evergreen, and it didn't fear when the drought came. And I think we all have different seasons in our lives, and some of them are really, really tough. But God knows that. And I think even when it's really, really tough, God, just keep your roots in God, and you will be fulfilling your potential, whether you feel like it or not, because you're a daughter of the King. And just living in that relationship is fulfilling your potential. That is what we're all called for, that relationship with God. So some seasons are a bit mundane, and we often think, oh, I really want to do something big and exciting for God. But actually, he calls us to live with him today in the daily now. So whether it is literally spending your whole day mopping floors or changing nappies or driving to work or working with annoying people or whatever it is, that is where God is calling you today. And that is where God wants you to be, surrendering everything. We shouldn't be rushing through the mundane task to get to our holy time. It's all holy. It's all we're walking with God in everything. So just surrender everything. And every season has got challenges, but also every season has got opportunities. So just be looking out for the opportunities today. And sometimes that might just be to survive and be a mum. And that's brilliant, because that's, as long as we're relying on God, we're daughters of God, even when we don't do anything. You know when babies are asleep and we think, oh, they're so lovely. They're not really doing anything, are they? And that's what God feels about us. He looks at us and he just loves us because we're his daughters and he loves us. So now I just wanted you to do a little thing. Because I want... This is my little palm tree. You should have a green piece of paper. There should be one for everyone. If you haven't got one, there's spares at the front. And I know it doesn't look very much like a palm tree, but the reason I've done a hand is because we've all got the same calling. We've all got the same potential in that we're all daughters of God. We're all these I am sayings. But actually, God has got a unique purpose for all of us as well. And hands with the fingerprints, are a symbol of our uniqueness. And I was going to bring paint and get us to all do fingerprints and things like that. And I thought it would get a bit messy. But if you want to go home and do all that, that'd be brilliant. So the hand is to symbolise your unique, your uniqueness, your unique identity in God. So we've all got a corporate identity, but we've all got a unique identity. There's not one person here that God didn't mean to make, and he's made you, each of you, for a unique walk with himself. So I wanted us to get into groups, whoever you feel comfortable with, really, whether it's twos or threes, and just take it in turns to pray for each other and ask God, who do you say I am? So for example, if I went with Carol, lucky me, we'd spend about 3 minutes listening to God, asking God who he says Carol is, and then she'd write it down on her little palm, and then it would be my turn. Does that make sense? So if we could all just pray to God, just spend a little bit of time in quiet. You can always look at these lists, the blue sheet of all the I am sayings, if you want to, and just give God a chance to tell you how much he loves you and how he sees you in a unique way. I've also, if you run out of time, or that, you know, if you kind of finish on time, I mean, and have a bit of time to spare, I'm going to give you about 10 minutes to do this. You can also, on the picture, I've written the little roots. I've drawn the roots. I know it's not a brilliant drawing, but it says, keep rooted in relationship with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I just wanted you to have the chance, if you've found anything helpful this morning, and you have been maybe encouraged or challenged to do something differently or new or redo something, to just keep your roots in God, just to write anything practical down, because I think this is our time to process and this is our time to receive from God. When we go out from here, we'll be whizzing around and we probably won't look at it again. So just take time now to be with God, in God's presence, and hear God for each other. And then I'll call you back after about 10 minutes. And then we'll do a bit of prayer ministry, and I've got something else for you as well. Go!